नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायण। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavat, Canto 5, text, Canto 5, Chapter 10, text number 5. Sansargika, resulting from intimate association. Dosha, a fault. Creation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. King Rahugna could understand the speeches given by the carriers who were afraid of being punished. He could also understand that simply due to the fault of one person, the palanquin was not being carried properly. Knowing this perfectly well and hearing their appeal, he became a little angry, although he was very advanced in political science and was very experienced. His anger arose due to his inborn nature as a king. Actually, King Rahugna's mind was covered by the mode of passion, and he therefore spoke as follows to Jad Bharat, whose Brahman effulgence was not clearly visible, being covered like a fire covered by ashes. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The distinction between Rajogun and Sattvagun is explained in this verse. Although the king was very upright and advanced in political science and governmental management, he was nonetheless in the mode of passion, and therefore due to a slight agitation he became angry. Jad Bharat, despite all kinds of injustice endured because of his deaf and dumb display, remained silent by the strength of his spiritual advancement. Nonetheless, his Brahma Teja, his Brahman effulgence, was indistinctly visible in his person. I take the blessings of all the devotees assembled. Reformers. I will read the translation. King Rahugna could understand the speeches given by the carriers who were afraid of being punished. So here Srila Prabhupada is explaining in the purport how this great king Rahugna is affected by the mode of passion, and hence he becomes angry. Generally, the persons who are in this very politically high post, they are affected by the mode of passion. Passion is born one of the modes of material nature, and it induces one to act in an impulsive way. Krishna explains that Kama Isha, Krodha Isha, Rajaguna, Samudbhava. That this Kama, lust and anger, they are born of the mode of passion. One who is in the mode of passion and ignorance, he cannot act very soberly. He is under the control of his mind and senses. And it's very difficult for him to always exercise discrimination between what is to be done, what is not to be done, what is good, what is bad, what is evil, what is good, what is pleasing to Krishna, and what is pleasing to my mind and senses. That is why a devotee is always aspiring to transcend these modes of material nature, particularly the modes of passion and ignorance. Passion invokes anger, and ignorance invokes laziness and lethargy. Both of these are obstacles on the path of devotional service. So when Prabhupada was going to America, he wrote this beautiful poem, Bodo Kripa Kainu Krishna Adhamira Prati, where he was praying to Krishna that I am very unqualified. You have brought me here. I do not know I have no qualifications. He signs as, I am a humble beggar, insignificant beggar. And in that poem, Prabhupada is praying to Lord that the people in here, in this place, they are affected by passion and ignorance. How will they understand your messages? Because just to come to that spiritual platform, one has to actually first at least come to the mode of goodness. Unless one is in the mode of goodness, it's very difficult for one to understand higher spiritual truths. Srila Prabhupada explains that goodness is like a springboard. It's like just like if you have to take off a flight, you have to go somewhere, you have to at least come to the runway, to the place where their plane is going to take off from. From there you can go to another place. So similarly, in order to ascend to the higher realms of spirituality, one has to at least come to the mode of goodness. So Prabhupada was in a place in New York where everybody is practically mad. Madness is caused by passion and ignorance. People running here and there for sense gratification. So Prabhupada prays there that, Ki lagi yani chita, I do not know why you have brought me here. How will they understand? This is Ugrasthana, Prabhupada. This is Ugrasthana. This is a place of Ugrasthana means very passionate activities. Generally factories, industries, they are all in the mode of passion. So, and then Prabhupada quotes in that same song the verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. That this contamination, the abhadra from the heart, is destroyed by hearing the messages of Krishna. Tada rajastamo bhava kama lobha dajashchaye. That this ignorance, passion and tama, ignorance, this is removed by the constant hearing of the messages of Krishna. This is the beauty of the process of devotional service. The devotional service in all stages is a solution. Just to understand devotional service, one has to render devotional service. Just to come to that point where one can understand the messages of Krishna, one has to hear the message of Krishna. It's just like in all stages of Krishna consciousness, the prime process is the chanting of Krishna's name. Beginning from a person who is in the lowest modes, who is addicted to sinful activities, or a person who is very sober, pious, or a person who is actually relishing the sweetness of the holy name, the activity remains the same. It's like Srila Prabhupada was asked, what do you get out of this chanting? And he said, more chanting of Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Because actually, by chanting or by hearing the messages of Krishna, one gradually begins to understand that what is, who am I and what is nature and how should I be acting. One may have anger in a spiritual, one can use anger in a spiritual manner. Just like the classical examples of Hanuman, great devotee of Lord Ramchandra, who burned the city of Lanka to ashes because he was angry. But this anger is transcendental. He was angry because Ravan was insulting Lord Ramchandra. He was angry because Ravan had kidnapped Sita. So this anger is transcendental anger. This is the way we can dovetail all our propensities. Kama, it says Kama Krishna Arpanam, that if one is very lusty, can be lusty for doing for more and more for Krishna. Actually, in our present stage, very few of us may be on the platform where we are actually free from the modes of nature. It's very difficult. In spite of good association and chanting, it takes a long while, before one can actually be beyond the three modes. So the practical solution is to use whatever mode one is in the service of Krishna. Whatever physical, psychological nature, which is essentially born out of the three modes of nature, if one simply engages in Krishna's service, then by that engagement, one rises above that mode. It's like somewhere we have to make a start. It's like a car where the batteries are down and you don't know how to start it, because for starting you need the batteries, and somehow you have to push it, so that pushing starts the car and then the batteries charge themselves. Somehow one has to be just connected to Krishna through the process of devotional service. The essential factor in all purifying agencies is Krishna. In one beautiful purport which I was reading a couple of days back, is Prabhupada explains that Krishna is a purifying agent, and it's Krishna in the form of his name, qualities, pastimes, and his entourage and his dham, which can purify one of the lower modes of nature. By our own efforts, it's not possible. Even if one is very resolute, like people make some resolutions, New Year's resolutions, or some resolutions to overcome certain habits or certain inclinations or anger and things like that. But that is not long-lasting, because the nature of the modes of material nature is that they keep coming up and down. But for one who takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, he alone can cross over the influence of the modes of nature. Because these modes are acting, they are part of material nature, and nature is subordinate to Krishna. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharachara. So when Krishna is pleased with a devotee's service and with his chanting, then Krishna just arranges a devotee's mind in such a way that he is transcendental. He becomes beyond the three modes of material nature. But so long as we are not on that level, one should simply aspire to just engage in devotional service, no matter what the modes are, no matter what the mind says. Just like Prabhupada says that the way to overcome inattentive chanting is to just keep on chanting. Of course, one should not be inattentive purposefully. But if one is going on chanting, even though the mind is creating so many excuses, the mind is running here and there, whatever. But if one simply takes shelter of the holy name, then that name gives one the power to overcome the distractions. So in that sense, devotional service is a complete science. That just by taking shelter of Krishna's name, just by taking shelter of the process of rendering service to Vaishnavas, one becomes freed from all influences. Devi esha gunamayi mama maya duratteya mamevaya prapadyante maya metam tarante. Krishna explains that this material nature is very difficult, it's insurmountable. For us to defeat maya is, or to overcome the modes of nature, is more difficult than for a mosquito to defeat an elephant. It's impossible, because maya is as powerful as Krishna, and maya is represented by the modes of nature. But if one actually takes shelter of Krishna, taking shelter of Krishna means not just verbally or through the lips, but actually feeling oneself destitute and helpless. One understanding that when great rishis like Vishwamitra also become affected by lust and anger, who am I and what is my situation and what is the period in which I am living? I am actually quite helpless. So when one understands that Krishna, I'm helpless, I have no shelter, then one can actually cry out, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Then Krishna just withdraws the power of Maya. Krishna gives us the strength to overcome Maya. On the other hand, Jad Bharat is described here that he was peaceful, although he was enduring all kinds of injustices. He was just acting like dumb and deaf. This may not be possible always in a preaching mission, but sometimes it's good to be like that. Just to be like that and not to defend oneself also. It's actually a very difficult quality to acquire, to become completely deaf and dumb. Just in the sense that somebody says something and just say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So your lectures are not good, Hare Krishna. I don't like this thing. Of course, if you are genuinely trying, not that one, but just to become averse to any, just to become neutral to any praise or blame, that can solve many of the problems. Most people in the world are struggling because they want to be praised. Everywhere, this whole material world is working on that principle of being recognized, being praised. People become like Jad Bharat, so much energy can be saved. Of course, we may still do things nicely from a positive perspective that Krishna will be pleased. But, you know, in our present status, many times we do things out of a mixed motivation, and therefore the results are also mixed. We may want to speak or sing or do service to please Krishna and also to get some praise. It's like sweet rice mixed with sand. But if one learns to become, because no matter who you are, where you are, there will be some people who will understand you, some will misunderstand you, and this has happened to even great transcendentalists, what to speak of sadhakas like us, ourselves. So if one is very attached to always being understood properly, then one may have to suffer mental agony. And that's inevitable. In Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, I was just reading his website 2 days back, and he was saying that no matter where you are, who you are, there will be some misunderstanding, offenses. He was speaking something which he had spoken earlier on forgiveness. So he was saying that the part of relationship is that there will be some offenses, some misunderstandings. So if one is very, very attached to this subtle kind of sense gratification, then the result is suffering. It is the nature of this world. When you want enjoyment, you may get enjoyment, but you get suffering. So sometimes, after doing one's best in devotional service, one should ultimately become like Jad Bharat, that I have done my best. No, it's not in my hand. It's just what the results are. Just fixed at Krishna's lotus feet. And in spite of this, Jad Bharat was, he said that his Brahma Teja was indistinctly visible in his person, like a fire covered by ashes. A very, very advanced person. He is the same King Bharat who left his wife, children and possessions like stool. The same who later became a deer. And here he is completely unagitated. That state is possible only for one who has actually tasted the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet. It cannot just be artificially imitated. Because for one who is actually tasting Krishna's lotus feet, he becomes indifferent to anything else. Just like in the story of, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a story of Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami was again and again running away from home. And his parents were very worried. And his mother told that maybe you should tie him with ropes. His father said he has got a wife like Apsara, and he has got a wealth like Indra. And these things are not binding him. So how can these ropes bind him? In other words, these are the things which actually bind one to material existence. Wealth, women, prestige, and so on. And he's not attached to these things. So how can this anything else bind one? And there Kaviraj Goswami quotes this verse of Bharat Maharaj. That how Bharat Maharaj, he left everything. Young wife, children, elephants, horses, and treasury. Just everything, as if one gives up stool after passing. And there is a nice verse by Kaviraj Goswami. Krishna Pada Padma Gandha Jara Janapai. That one who has attained Krishna Pada Padma Gandha, the scent or the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet. For him, even Brahma Loka is detestable if it is not in service to Lord Krishna. It's all an illusion. Whether it's Indra Loka, Brahma Loka, or Patala Loka, anything which is not conducive to devotional service is what Prabodhananda Saraswati calls flowers of the sky, willow wisp, or Ghoda Dimba. It's just illusion. But only who can understand this, that it's all an illusion, that one who has received Chaitanya Kripa Kataksha, one who has got the merciful glance of Lord Gauranga. The aspiration is just to get the glance, the mercy of Mahaprabhu or the mercy of his associates. And then everything becomes clear. See, one may talk a lot about theoretical analysis that that I am not this body, I am, how one material pleasures are detestable and how one should be detached and one should control his senses. But it's only by the mercy of Mahaprabhu that one can actually achieve these things. It's only the mercy. And that's the difference between bhakti and any other process. Is that bhakti means to understand, like Mahanidhi Maharaj in one beautiful lecture, he says that bhakti can be summed up in 5 letters, M-E-R-C-Y, mercy. It's the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, mercy of Lord Chaitanya with his associates. So Raghunath Das Goswami had this mercy, so he could give up everything. He could give up everything. That's the sweetness of bhakti, is that all one has to do is beg for mercy. Whether one is very advanced like Rupa and Sanatan, we hear in Ramkeli how they approach Lord Chaitanya with a straw between their teeth and the cloth around their necks, praying sincerely. These words cannot be imitated. Even for a poet to conceive of these things without actually feeling is impossible. These words are actually coming from the core of the heart of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. They say, "My Lord, we are so fallen that if you do not deliver us, you will not find any more fit candidates worthy of receiving your mercy. We are more fallen than Jagai and Madhai, and Jagai Madhai may have performed some sinful activity, but that's just a detail. They were staying in the dham and they never engaged in service of mlechas. So we are more fallen than that." And recently, about three months back when, during this Gaur Purnima festival in Mayapur, when there was many different Prabhupada disciples were speaking on the occasion of Prabhupada reunion, and introductory lecture was given by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, and he chose to spoke on this song of Prabhupada, Bado Kripa Kainu Krishna Adhamera Prati. And Maharaj was explaining that this essentially denotes the mood of Srila Prabhupada, which we as his followers are expected to imbibe. See, Prabhupada was not writing this poem with the expectation of being printed or published. His idea was, it was like a personal outpouring of his heart. And when somebody just writes his diary or something like this, he's actually just speaking spontaneously. In writing a book, one may edit his thoughts to make it more understandable to people or to suit the requirement of the audience. But here, in this poem, Prabhupada is actually just pouring out. He's just saying that, bhakti nahi, veda nahi, name khub daro. It's not that Prabhupada did not have any knowledge, spiritual or material, both ways. He was editor of the Back to Godhead magazine. He was recognized by his Guru Maharaj. He was given the title Bhakti Vedanta by his godbrothers. But the essential quality which made Prabhupada successful is in that song. And they were explaining earlier about Rupa and Sanatan also, how they were actually falling at Lord Chaitanya's feet and begging, "Please, please deliver us." Quoting that verse from Yamunacharya, "Mattulyo nasti papi," that there is nobody as fallen as me. I am anath, make me sanath. Give me your shelter. So this is how one gets Mahaprabhu's mercy, just by begging. And then all rajogun, tamogun, sattvagun also. After all, sattvagun is also not the goal of our life. So all this transcendence is possible for one who achieves the shelter of Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Maha Gaurangera Duti Pada Jaradhana Sampada Sejane Bhagati Rasasa. One who actually takes shelter of the lotus feet, one who knows this lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, then he knows the essence of bhakti. He knows the essence of bhakti. I would like to just also read the prayers of Jagai and Madhai after they were delivered by Lord Chaitanya. There are actually 2 sets of prayers described by Vrindavan Das Thakur. One is immediately when they were delivered. But the second one, which is more touching, is when Madhai approaches Lord Nityananda after they become very much fixed up in devotional service. As many of you have been to Katwa, there is a place where there's Madhai Ashram, where Jagai and Madhai were performing their sadhana. You find murtis of them there also. They had their heads shaven up, they were brahmacharis. They became brahmacharis without joining BTA directly. They were just one stroke mercy. They would chant 2 lakh names every day, 128 rounds. And Vrindavan Das Thakur describes that they would get up before sunrise and they would take bath in Ganga. And moment after moment they would chant Krishna, Krishna. And they would weep in ecstasies, separation from Krishna. They bathe, they were tasting the nectar of love for Lord Krishna. And when they would remember their previous violent activities, they would weep and they would fall unconscious. So very good. Of course, it's not good to be sinful. But if by chance we have been, because of our previous background, it's good to remember these things, our own sinful activities, or even whatever shortcomings we have, whatever subtle or gross fall downs we may have had after becoming devotee or before. Because such thoughts make us really humble. We should always remember who we were before we came into contact with the movement, and also remember what we are now, and also what the struggle we are going on. So Jagai Madhai would often remember their past things. They were not thinking that now we have, Lord Chaitanya has embraced us, so now we are liberated. Actually they were. They had received love for Krishna more than liberation. But they were always remembering their past shortcomings. And remembering their past things, they would feel a sense of remorseness and humility. So one day, when they were crying like this, Lord Chaitanya personally came to their place and he gave them prasad. But still, Jagai Madhai were not peaceful because they were feeling that Lord Nityananda is the ocean of mercy, non-different from the Lord, and we have hurt him. So Madhai approached Nityananda in a secluded place and he came to Lord Nityananda, grasped his lotus feet, put a straw between his feet and offered these wonderful prayers. Please listen carefully as Vrindavan Das Thakur gives the benediction of those who hear these prayers. He prayed, "My Lord, as Lord Vishnu, you protect the worlds. As Lord Ananta Shesh, you hold the worlds on your hoods. Your transcendental form is devotional service personified. In their hearts, Lord Shiva and Parvati always meditate on you. Devotional service is your property. Kindly give devotional service. No one is more dearer to Lord Chaitanya than you. By your mercy, powerful Garuda carries Lord Krishna in your pastimes. With your countless mouths, you praise Lord Krishna's virtues and you teach devotional service, that is the best of all activities." Here is approaching Nityananda in the mood of the original Guru, who is the giver of bhakti and who is the source of all inspiration. Narada Muni sings your glories. Lord Chaitanya is your great treasure. It is you in the form of Balaram who divided river Jamuna, and by serving you, King Janak attained transcendental knowledge. You are the Supreme Lord. All the truths of religion rest within you, and the Vedas, they describe you as Adidev. You are the father of the universe. You are the master of yoga. You are the great bowman, Lakshman. And you crush the atheist. You are the teacher of transcendental mellows. And you know everything of Lord Chaitanya's mission in this world. Mahamaya is worshipped in this world because she serves your lotus feet. Countless universes seek the shadow of your lotus feet. You are the greatest devotee of Lord Chaitanya. You are bhakti personified. You have all of the power of Lord Chaitanya. You are Lord Chaitanya's bed. You are his throne. You are his perusal. You are his touch. And you are the treasure of Lord Gauranga. You are not different from Krishna. You are all of Lord Chaitanya's incarnation. You kill all the atheists and offenders, but please save me. I am fallen. I am wretched. Please have mercy on me. In one nice lecture, Shachinandan Maharaj was explaining how to approach Lord Nityananda is a way to get mercy. He was saying Lord Nityananda is like a drunken uncle. In America, it's very common. If you want something from your father or uncle, you go at a time when they are drunk. So if you ask for $100, he will say, why 100? Take 1,000. He's in a good mood. Good mood is drunken, sir. So Nityananda Prabhu is none other than Gauranga, but in a more benevolent mood. So this is the way we should be approaching Lord Nityananda, begging. And finally, he concludes by saying that you are the protector of the Vaishnavas and you are the teacher of devotional service. By your mercy, Brahma creates Revati, Varuni, Kanti, they are all serving you. You are the destroyer in the form of Rudra. And that same, your same body, even Lord Krishna enjoys pastimes of sleeping on your transcendental body in the form of Ananta Shesh. And that same body I attacked. I am so sinful. I attacked that graceful body which is served by Shiva and Parvati. Parvati and Lord Shiva's 900 million maid servants worship your body. Just by remembering your transcendental body, one becomes freed from all bondage of material life. And I am so offensive that I made blood flow from that transcendental body. It is by serving you that Chitraketu became the best of the Vaishnavas. I am a great sinner. I attacked the body on which countless universes meditate upon. By serving you, the great sages of Namisharanya and Shaunak Rishi, they became freed from all bondages just by remembering you. It was because Indrajit tried to attack your body that he invited your destruction. Dvivida was actually helping Lord Ram. Ultimately, he perished because of being offensive to you. Jarasandha ran to his death because of attacking your body. When Krishna's brother-in-law, Rukmi, insulted you, he had to give up his life. And Romharshan Sut, who was blessed with a very, very long lifespan, was burned to ashes when he did not offer proper respects to you, the form of Balaram. King Duryodhan and his kinsmen, when they did not listen to your advice, you were almost about to destroy the whole of Hastinapur. By some divine arrangement, great devotees know about the truth of your glories. And it was because of the words of Kunti, Bhishma, Yudhishthir, Vidur and Arjun that Duryodhan and his kinsmen were saved. Just by insulting you, they lost their lives. And what will happen to me? I attacked your transcendental body. Speaking in this way, he actually fell at Lord Nityananda's lotus feet. And he put his chest at Lord Nityananda's feet and prayed that, please give me the shelter of your lotus feet. Anybody who takes shelter of Lord Nityananda's feet, he will never perish. Oh Father, please give me shelter. Glory, glory, Madha is praising. Glory, glory to the son of Padmavati and Hadai Pandit. Glory to Nityananda. Glory to the Lord. Oh Lord, who is free from anger, Akarodha. Please forgive. Please forgive. Please forgive. I am a cruel outcast. I am a poisonous, ungrateful snake. Please, my Lord, please forgive me. Now, this is not immediately after offense, but many years after, when he was actually already transformed. He was already a devotee chanting 128 rounds. He was feeling like this. Just by hearing this Madhai's prayers, Lord Nityananda, he smiled and said, get up, rise, Madhai. And he, I am in your body. You are like my son. If a son commits an offense, the father doesn't take it seriously. I think your hitting is just like that. I don't take it seriously. And then he offers a benediction. Nityananda Prabhu says, anybody who simply hears your prayers, he will become devoted to my lotus feet. Jai Nitai. You have attained my master's, Gauranga's mercy. I don't see any fault in you, not even a sesame seed's worth of fault. Anybody who worships Gauranga is my Lord. Yuga after yuga, I rescue a person who chants the name of Gauranga. Everybody say Gauranga. In this way, he offered, Nityananda Prabhu gave this benediction to Madhai. But still, Madhai was saying, my Lord, please, you may have forgiven me, but what about so many others? I have offended innumerable people. I have murdered so many people. I have spoiled so many people's life. I have stolen What about that? I don't even know whom I have done wrong unto. I violently attacked. And how can I even beg forgiveness? So at that time, please tell me how I can be delivered. Nityananda Prabhu replied that, you build a beautiful ghat, the bank of Ganga, and rendering service to Mother Ganga will purify you of all sinful activities. When the people will come to take bath in Ganga, they will give you blessings. Greet everyone, whoever comes, humbly, bow down to them and beg forgiveness. Then your offenses will be forgiven. So in this way, Madhai, he circumambulated Lord Nityananda and he was chanting, Krishna, Krishna. He built that ghat and everyone was so pleased with his service. Madhai offered dandavats. Anybody who comes, he would offer dandavats and say, please, knowingly, unknowingly, if I have committed any offense, please forgive me. And as he was saying like that, he was actually weeping and sincerely from the core of his heart. And hearing of these prayers, everybody would glorify Lord Gauranga. They would say, oh, this Nimai Pandit has changed Madhai and Jagai and made them people of high character. And hearing of this, everyone would become surprised. They would say, Nimai is not an ordinary human being. Many times we criticized him when he was a student. But now we understand that he is not an ordinary person. Nimai is a true servant of Lord Krishna. They understood that. But anyone who mocks him will perish. Anybody who can make Jagai and Madhai into good men must be the Supreme Lord, or at least a person who is empowered by the Lord. So Nimai Pandit is not a resident of the material world. In this way they were glorifying. Vrindavan Das Thakur concludes by saying that Madhai performed severe austerities. People would call him Brahmachari. He would stay at the bathing ghat and look at the Ganga. And he actually, with a spade in the hand, he made this ghat. And even today this place is there, Madhai ghat, on the bank of the Ganga. He concludes by saying, great is the mercy of Lord Gauranga, by whose mercy the two thieves were delivered. And one addition to what is said here, Jananivas Prabhu said once, is that sometimes people would be so, because previously Jagai Madhai had a lot of enemies, obviously, because he did a lot of violence. So sometimes people whom they would try to beg forgiveness, they would be still so angry that they would take a pot and beat him. And when Madhai would be beaten up, he would take that pot back and with tears in his eyes, he would again give them this pot and said, beat me again. I deserve more. So this is what real transformation of heart is, that by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, Lord Gauranga, and everything else. Actually, if you want to sum up all spiritual life, it's just Gauranga and Nityananda. If you remember these two lotus feet, it doesn't matter how degraded you are, how much lusty you are, how many times envy attacks you. Somehow or other, bhajo bhajo bhai chaitanya nitai sudhrida vishwas kuri. In one nice purport to this song, which is quoted in our song book, Prabhupada says that bhajo bhajo bhai, that sudhrida vishwas kuri means do not think that you will not attain the goal by worshipping Lord Gauranga and Nityananda, just by taking shelter of them. Just dekho re bhai tribhuvane naayam, just by taking shelter of Gauranga and Nityananda. And then when they are pleased by our insignificant attempts, they will just remove all influences of the modes of nature. They will give us entrance into the realm of Radha Krishna. That's why even Jagannath Babaji Maharaj, so many years he served in Vrindavan, but then they came to Navadvip, they worshipped Gaur Nithai, taking shelter of Gaur Nithai. That's our only hope. Through Gaur Nithai we get Radha Krishna's mercy. And through Gaur Nithai's mercy, it is said by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that just when the one may chant Hare Krishna for many lifetimes, he may not get Krishna prema because offenses take place. But one takes shelter of Gauranga Nityananda, then Krishna prema comes running after him. If you just cry out Gauranga Nityananda, then you get this mercy. Gauranga Nityananda. Srila Prabhupada is the most merciful manifestation of Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. just by some or other clasping onto his lotus feet through his servants, even though we are in a blind well full of snakes, as Prahlad Maharaj describes, and even though we are so difficult to just hold on also, because the snakes are pulling us down, just somehow just hold on to Prabhupada's, who is Nityananda's manifestation, and we get that mercy and we go back home, back to God. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Gopinath Prabhuji. Radha Gopinath Prabhuji. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai.